following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in central Alberta.
Thanks, you guys. That was great. Let's open in a word of prayer this morning as we begin our talk. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your love. I thank you that you are so eager to embrace us, no matter where we've come from today, where we've been, that your mercy is available. I thank you for that. I thank you for your love today. I pray that through your word that you would teach us today, that you would remind us of who you are, and that you would actually draw us into a more intimate relationship with yourself. And so I pray for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we're going to start for the next 3 weeks. We're going to be in a little mini series on the book of Jonah. I want you to take a Bible out. So there's a Bible in front of you if you want to use that one. And you could try to find the book of Jonah if you want, but it's like 2 pages long. So everyone will know if you're having trouble there. So just go to like page 753 if you're using the Bible in front of you. If you're using your Bible app, that's easy. Just type that in. Or if you're watching online and you want to use your computer, just go to BibleGateway.com and put in Jonah, and poof, there you go. You'll be up there. But make sure you turn there today. It's a short book. It's a fascinating book, and it's just full of drama and excitement, and it's well known. And if you've been in church since, you know, for a while, or as a little kid, you will definitely have heard this story before. Pastor Dan's been taking us through what we call the minor prophets. They're the smaller books in the Bible that focus on the prophets that God spoke through to people. And the book of Jonah is one of those books, but it's unique. It's not like the other minor prophets in that it doesn't focus on the message that God was giving to the prophet to give to somebody. So all the other minor prophets are full of what is the message. So what does God want the prophet to say to these people? The issue with Jonah in this story is, like, we don't even actually know fully what the message was. We just see a little glimpse of what the message is about, because the whole book is not about that. It's about this prophet named Jonah who's completely kind of fed up with actually following God's direction in his life. He is just at a point where God says, here's what I want you to do next. And he just says, nah, I'm not into that. I'm done. And so it's a fascinating story about a relationship between not only the Lord, God, Yahweh, and Jonah, but actually the heart of God, not just for his servants, for rebellious, willful, rebellious people who know better doing their own thing, but also about how God's heart is for those who don't even know who he is. And so it's a great book that we're going to spend some time in looking at. How does God relate to people who willfully disobey him, and how does God relate to people who don't even know him? And so that's what I'm excited to look at for the next few weeks. And today is just going to be an introduction into that, and then we're going to spend some time in the Lord's table going through communion, and we want to partake of that together, and we want to end with a really good time of worship today. So that's where we're heading. So hopefully by now you found that little book of Jonah and you have it open. I want you to know the big idea, or the big deal in the book of Jonah, is not the big fish or the whale. Okay, that's just not it. I know that's what the book is known for. If you haven't read it before or heard about it before, it's coming up. You'll see it. It's there. But that is not the big deal. The big deal in this book is this. And I'm going to give it to you right up front. So if you fall asleep after this, that's fine. Or if you're catching up on the local sports and all that kind of stuff that's going on today, that's fine. But this is it. Take it and go. The Lord is ready to give mercy when we are willing and we cry out for it. If you are desperate for mercy today, if you are just at a spot where you just want to cry out, God, I've had enough. I don't want to do life the way I'm doing it today anymore. And I need you to do something in my life different. I need your help. Then he is ready.
It doesn't matter today where you're coming from, where you've been, what you're up to, whether you've known him before, you've known him for your whole life, or today's your first day you've even considered that there's God. He is ready to give you mercy to everyone who actually calls out for it. There's the big idea. The main point. Don't forget it. We're going to start with the first verse and we're going to go through the story. I love this stuff because I get to just tell a story and it's right in front of you so that you know I'm not making this up. Because scripture is so fascinating when you read it the way it was written as a story. So we're going to start with the first verse, which is the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Now, here's the thing. If you've been a follower of Jesus any point of time, this happens. This happens to you. This happens to you, us all the time. The word comes to us. It comes whether through preaching like today. The word is coming to you. The word that God has mercy available for you is the word that's coming to you today. That's the word. There you go. Got it again. That's twice today, so I get that in. You'll get it by the end of the day. We can get the word by reading the word, the Bible ourselves. We get it. Sometimes God speaks through people, friends, family. Sometimes God just speaks right directly, it seems like, into our heart, through our mind, that we're laying there, and it's like there's something that comes to us, and it's a corrective thought, and God says, this is what I need you to stop doing, or this is what I need you to start doing. And so this is what happens to Jonah, that he gets a message. Now, his job was a prophet, and he had been a prophet before. We see that in Scripture. So this isn't his first rodeo or his first time where the word of God has come to him. But it shows up again and it comes to him. And it comes to all of us. Now, a prophet was a little bit different. The prophet typically got words given to him where he was asked to go tell some people that what they were doing was wrong and God was about to bring judgment against them. So this was like really crummy job, let's be honest. I mean, no one wants to go to someone and say, hey, you know what? Actually, some people like doing that, right? But they like going to people and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong, you need to stop it. But here's the thing, no matter whether you like that or not, the people who receive that, they never like it. They never like it. So these guys were not well-liked people. These were lonely people, typically. And they didn't have a lot of good news to tell people. And as you look at the lives of prophets throughout Scripture, they were frustrated people because they would proclaim what God said, and then they would wonder, why wouldn't people obey? Why wouldn't they listen? And people hated them and persecuted them and tortured them. It's interesting today. If you're in the church circle, wife, let me just tell you about church circle for a second. This is a side note. I'm not allowed to do that today because I have very little side note time. But listen, what's weird to me today is that when people talk about prophets in the church today, what they typically are doing is run around telling good news. That's not what these guys did. They, you know, prophets, they go around and go, everything is great. God, everything's going well. Keep going, encouraging people. That's not what these guys did. These guys stepped into situations where they spoke truth to power. We've heard that this year, right? Truth to power. Scary stuff. To kings who could kill them at any moment, to entire nations who could turn on them. That's what their job was. But in this situation, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, and yes, it's another mission, and he is to go speak truth to power, truth to a group of people that actually had no relationship with his God whatsoever. And he was supposed to correct them in their behavior. That's like going to someone who has no relationship with God whatsoever, no desire to have a relationship with God whatsoever, and go and tell them that God's mad at them and they need to change their behavior. He knew this was not going to be necessarily a good day for him, and he's not impressed. So it says, the word comes to him, and this is all we know about the word so far. Go to this great city of Nineveh and preach against it. Now, Nineveh was, in their minds, at that time, a great city. It was like Red Deer. It's about 120,000 people in the surrounding areas around it. 120,000 people who were known for horrible acts They were Assyrians who slaughtered all kinds of people, tortured people to make people afraid of them. They would skin people and hang their skins up, all kinds of stuff. We'll get into that more next week. So if you don't like graphic, no, we're not going to talk a lot about graphic stuff. But I'll get more into the Ninevites next week. But he's supposed to go preach against it because their wickedness had come up before the Lord. They didn't have a relationship with the Lord, but it didn't cease to make him Lord. And so God's aware of the wickedness of the city, and he's going to send Jonah to go there. So every time the word comes to us, or the word comes to someone, whether that's today, or whether that's when you're reading your devotions, or whether that's your, God speaks into your heart when you're laying in bed sometimes, or whenever that is, or when the word comes, we always have a response and a choice. Today, you will have a response and a choice. Jonah had a choice to make. What does he do when the word comes? What do you do when the word comes? Well, in this story, this is what we learned that Jonah did. He ran. No thanks. He ran. When God gives us direction, a word about our life, or something that he needs us to do or wants us to do, to stop doing or start doing, sometimes people run. I've run. I'd like to see your hands, but I don't think you're all awake yet. But I'm sure you, if you've been walking this walk for a while, there's been times you've run, right? Yeah. Heard that. Thank you. Appreciate the few of you. That's awesome. And Jonah, I don't know what's going on in Jonah. I don't know. I think we judge him pretty harshly, and I probably will sound pretty harsh against him as well. But we really don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't know if he's had it with God, if his expectations of what God was going to do in his life have all been shattered. I don't know if he's had a family member die. I don't know if he's had people betray him everywhere he goes because he's so faithful to God. I don't know what's going on, but he's like, I'm done. I am not going down that road again. No thanks, God. I trusted you before. I don't know his story, actually. We know very little about this guy. All we know is this poor story that we hear today is he ran from God. So we have that choice. You move always in one or two directions. And so he ran not towards God, but he ran away from the Lord. See, and every time the word of God comes to us, it's actually an invitation to run towards him. It's to run in line or in step with God. That's what the word comes to you. When the word comes to you and it's direction of either go this way or don't go this way, or do this or don't do that. When the word comes to us, it's an invitation to actually learn to walk in step and alongside with what God wants to do with your life. And in that path, we know from scripture, I know actually from learning the hard knocks that Jonah learned as well, that when we run away from God, you're always running to something that's not going to be very fun. But we like to learn that the hard way for some reason. So hopefully today by his story, we won't have to. So whatever the word has come, and I've been praying for you most of the night, that you would at least get clarity today, not just around the story, but that you would be reminded today of what is the word that has come to you, maybe recently, or maybe it's 30, 40, 50 years ago. What is the word that God has spoke to you and has come to you, and you have a decision today either to walk in step with that or to actually walk the opposite direction. You're always moving either in line, in step with God, or actually in the opposite direction. There is no standing still. So Jonah heads for this place called Tarshish. So he goes down to Joppa, where he finds a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Now that seems ironic. He's a prophet of God. He understands who God is, that God is supreme, that God is the creator of all things. And he's going to have this concept now that I'm getting away from God. I don't actually think that's what that means. It's cool. I mean, I could be wrong. This is just me. I read that this week and I thought, I think this is what it means only because it's what I've done. What it means there in the word is actually he turned to go away. When it says away from the Lord of God, amen, he turned away from the face of God. He wanted to get away from the look of God. Anything that would remind him or that he would have to look God in the face. And so he's out of here. He's fleeing from any place where he normally hears from God. This is where I find God's presence. This is where God spoke. I am going to get as far away from wherever God spoke to me this word that I don't like. I'm going the opposite way. I've done that. People do that all the time. When God speaks into our life and we don't like it, we want to get away from whatever that place was, whether it's through a relationship with somebody, when someone's come and spoke into our life and we said, never talking to you again. Or whether it's a church where we felt convicted and we said, you know what? I'm not going back that place because they're calling me out on some stuff. And I feel that the judgment there, that there's something going on in my life and I'm out of here. I'm never going back into that place again. I'm leaving that small group. I'm leaving that relationship. I feel uncomfortable when I'm there because that's where God spoke to me. So he's out. He's going. And just so you get an understanding what this literally looks like is he's supposed to go to Nineveh, okay? This is like 550 miles that way. And he's like, hey, and for when I look at this map, I go, probably that is the farthest point he knows exists right now in the world because he's heard there's a port way over there where they used to bring silver and gold to his area. And it's the farthest distance he knows exists. And so he buys a ticket to go there. I got to get as far away from me. Have you ever encounter people when sometimes they move from all the way across the country? That's like this. It's like God asking you to go to Vancouver and you go to Prince Edward Island. That's the distance. That's pretty much it. And I've encountered people who have moved like that before. And you kind of ask them at first when you meet them, you're like, wow, what brings you out here? Oh, nothing really. I've dug into a few of those conversations. You know what often is? Getting away from whatever was in my life over there as far away. Well, why'd you come here? I don't know. I'm building a new life over there. Because there's something over there I don't like. It's what we do. It's just all what we do. And this is exactly what he does. He just takes off. Here's where we begin into the story where the pursuit of God comes. And the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. And I don't want to throw that line away. When it says the Lord sent, there is many times, whenever something is repeated in a story in scripture, you need to pay attention. The Lord sent is there. It's actually not a great translation. It means the Lord commanded or he appointed, he orchestrated it, he crafted it, he meant it to be. It was from the hand of God himself. And this happens many times in the story. So God himself throws a great wind onto the sea. Such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Now all the sailors were afraid and each cried out to his own God. And they started to throw the cargo into the sea to lighten up the ship. The Lord wants to get Jonah's attention. He wants to shake up his new plan, his new destination, his new path where he's heading. He begins to pursue him. Now this, I don't even know how to describe this. I wrestled with this. Is this, because we don't like the word judgment. But it feels like judgment, right? For Jonah. I mean, sometimes when this happens in our life, we're like, oh, I knew it. God's mad. But in scripture, when we're in a relationship with God and we choose to run in the opposite direction of God's will, what scripture calls it is actually discipline. And scripture teaches us that he disciplines those he loves. because he loves you, to draw you back into that step, walk in step with God relationship, because he knows it's actually best for you. He's not trying to beat you up here. He's causing a storm in his life to make him wake up and go, no, you don't want to do that. And the phrase there, it threatens to break the ship up. He had taken where he had trusted God's direction, and now he's placed his trust in this ship and these strangers to take him to a new place. And God comes against this plan and threatens to break up the ship. And if you ever run from God and you're in a new zone and you're trusting something different in your life, it can be your career path, it can be your finances, it can be this relationship that you thought, oh, this must be from God, right? I want this relationship. God says, no, that one's not for you. And you went, no, I don't like that. I do want this relationship. And then you see the relationship starting to threaten to break up. You're like, oh, my God's just angry. And you grit your teeth and you say, no. I'm hanging on. If God is shaking your world today, and things are shaking and things are threatening to break up, can I just get you to pause and say, is this from the hand of God? To bring you back into relationship with him. Now listen to me, I've got to be very careful with this. Not all storms are discipline of God. Not all storms, all hard times in life, the discipline of God. You know how I knew that? Because there's these other guys on the boat and they have no idea what this storm is about. And they're going through it anyways. And so what Jonah does in this storm, and he's seeing a storm, he goes down below deck and he goes to sleep. His world is being threatened. And he's just like, tune it out. I'm going to sleep. And the captain comes down to him and goes like, what are you doing? How in the world can you go to sleep? But this is kind of what people do. If they don't wake up, and they don't repent and turn around when the storm comes, sometimes they just go to sleep on you. And if you've had people like this around you in your life, and you're looking at their life, and you're like, everything you're counting on is about to break up, and you seem to be asleep at the wheel here. Like, do you not see the problems happening in your life? Amen. Nah, I'm okay. You're okay. Call on God. Ah, God. These guys have no idea who God is, who Yahweh is, who is the one who sent the storm. They just say, you know what? What we're experiencing here is not normal. And something's going on here. And so we all are going to call on different gods. And you're trying to sleep. So can you just call on your God? And let's just figure this out. And he just says, no, I'm just going to go to sleep. Because the last thing that he wants to do at this point is call on God. He knows. He knows what's going on. But he chooses to go to sleep in it. Well, I've seen this. I've seen it in my life. And I've seen it in the lives of people around me. They just go out. I'm ignoring the storm. I do not want to turn to God. I do not want to face him. That's why I'm heading that direction in the first place. And so these guys are in a storm because Jonah is running from God, and their storm, they don't know what's going on. And sometimes we get caught up in a storm. It has nothing to do with us, but the idiot in the boat with us, we get to experience his storm. Been in one of those situations? Don't. Now, if you've not, maybe, no. You've seen this in families. We've seen it in people we care about, right? And you have to experience the storm, and you're aware of it, and you know it's going bad, and they're asleep. They don't want to call on God. They have no interest in making things right. They're not trying to repent. They're digging in. And the sailors don't understand it. So the sailors say to themselves, look, this is supernatural. We got to figure this out. This guy, we don't know who he is. He said something about being a prophet, but he's sleeping. So let's figure this out before God and let's throw some lots. Let's cast it out there and let's see who's the responsible. And God uses these pagan people without any knowledge of who he is and points to Jonah and says, it's the guy who's sleeping downstairs. And so they go down there and say, look, the lots fell to you. You're the problem. So can you tell us some things here? We need to know who is responsible. We know it's a God. Which God is this? What kind of work do you do? These are questions he didn't want to answer. Where do you come from? What is the country? What people are you from? What is going on? You are definitely the issue. Can you give us more information? And Jonah, he answers, okay, fine. I'm a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, Yahweh. When he uses that word, you have to understand that Yahweh was famous. Famous for this history of like saving slaves and like drowning pharaohs in the sea. And there's been like history of stories of Yahweh stepping into history and overthrowing kingdoms and doing all kinds of miracles and miraculous things. I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. And they're terrified. Oh, well, this makes sense. What have you done? What have you done to us? What have you done? This is the same phrase that God asked Cain after the first murder in the Bible was committed and Cain killed his brother. And God comes along and says, what have you done? You purposely, willfully disobeyed. You did something you knew was wrong. And they're saying to him, you mean you knew this God? You work for the guy? You're his servant. What are you doing? Why are you running? And so they're freaked right out. And the sea's getting rougher and rougher. And they say to him, well, you know God. This God, Yahweh, the one who's causing this, what do we got to do? Jonah says, fine, you know what? If it's about me, I guess. You know, throw me overboard. I guess God's just trying to punch me. He's just trying to kill me. If you think I'm the problem, guys, fine. Get rid of me. Go for it. You think I'm the problem? I'm causing all this disaster on everybody. You know, there's not a moment here where you're like, Jonah, you've been outed now. So not only is God like throwing a storm at you, not only are people asking questions, but now God has made your sin visible for everybody around you to see. He's pointed the finger at you in front of a group of people, and you're still not thinking, well, maybe this is a good time to say I'm sorry, repent, and go back to my relationship with God. No, it's fine. You know what? If everyone thinks I'm the problem, then just I'll get out of here. Throw me over. He's not going to throw himself over. But go ahead. If you really want to get rid of me, get rid of me. Ever encountered that with people? Where people finally have to come around. Maybe they've had to do this to you. Or you have to do this to someone and you say, I'm sorry, but actually, yeah, you're the problem. You're running from God. You're causing headaches. You're destroying your family. You're destroying everything around you. And you need to do this. And they say, well, fine. If you don't, I guess you can't. Just get rid of me then. I'm sure that'll make God happy. That must be what he wants. There's something dramatically happening here inside of Jonah. We don't really know what it is. But he's like, anything but returning to God. I would rather die. I've encountered people like this. And you're like, no, just turn to God. He is merciful. He is willing, willing, willing. But he won't. And so what do? You know what they do? They do what a lot of good families do and a lot of good friends do. They cared about Jonah way more than he cared about himself. So they go, you know what? You know what? We're going to try harder. We'll keep you alive. We'll keep you going. We'll try harder. We'll row back to land. We'll get you safe. We'll figure this out. John is not interested in figuring it out. He wants to go back to sleep. He doesn't care. He's willing to die. And everyone around him is going, no, we can try. Let's make it work. Ever encountered that? Where it feels like you're rowing and you're the one trying and you're trying to save. And the person that God is trying to bring back to himself has no interest in coming back to himself. But you're like, I care about it more than they do, so I will not quit. Man, that's tough. We've all been there. Been around people where we care more than they do. That they would receive mercy from God. Jonah doesn't care, so they try and they finally come to the conclusion that God's doing this. God's up to this. If God's doing this, there's no way we're going to win this fight. God wants to bring Jonah to this place. He's brought him here. How in the world could we fight him? And so they cry out to the Lord. They cry out to Yahweh. They cry out to Jonah's God. And they're like, you are in control, obviously. We can't fix it. You're sovereign. So we're going to ask for mercy. He's not asking for mercy yet, but we'll ask for mercy. God, can you please be merciful to us? Because obviously this is your deal with them and we're going to do what we think we've been told to do. We're throwing them over. We're throwing them over. Please have mercy on us. And God has mercy on them and says, absolutely. They haven't had a relationship with this God before, but they're aware now that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and they're just call out and say, we're going to do this thing because it's what we're told to do, and we're going to do it, but have mercy on us. And when they do it, the sea grows calm. And God gives them mercy. And the men on the boat greatly fear the Lord. And that is a reverence, an awe of who they've just had this encounter with. And they offer worship and sacrifice to him. And they make a covenant, a vow to do life with him. And here's the amazing thing about God. I mean, he can use all kinds of people to bring other people into relationship with himself. Isn't that amazing? Jonah's not, you know, telling them, hey, you need a relationship with God because he's amazing. He's like, I'm running, you know. And they're just in awe of this God who is eager to have mercy on them. And they can't believe that God just spared them. And they're all in. And here's the thing I have to know is that just because God is working through me some days does not mean there's anything good in me in that moment. God used Jonah because he cared about these sailors. And he rescues actually the sailors. And Jonah just sinks. I imagine he tried to swim for a while. And maybe he wasn't a good swimmer. I don't know how long it took. But he's not really done yet. We haven't even got to the big moment of the story everyone's waiting for. But I guess, and before we get there too far, where are you in the story? The amazing thing about this is you could be a sailor today and you've been around people who have claimed to follow Jesus and you look at their life and it's like falling apart. And you could still go, you know what? That's because they're actually, and people say this all the time about people go to church and read the Bible and claim to be, they're like, you know what? They don't really follow the direction of God in their life. They talk a lot about it, but they don't really do it. But wow, I can't believe that God would be merciful to me. And you could be that person today and turn and get mercy today and never have known what a relationship looks like. Or maybe you've had a relationship and you've just been at that point where God comes to you with another word and another, here's what I need you to stop doing, or here's where I need you to go in your life, here's what the relationship I need you to end is, here's the issue, your habit, your hang up I need you to get rid of, and you're just like, no, I've tried it already, I've trusted you before, it's not getting better, I'm sick and tired of being the person who has the hard job of serving you. So maybe you're just running today. And you know what? The storm doesn't always come right away. But you're either moving into that walking relationship with God or you're moving away. And God loves you enough. He'll pursue you. And that pursuit often is discipline. And maybe you're in the storm and you're going, yeah, I think this is the hand of God. Now, Jonah could have turned right there, and I would have suggested he did. That would have been best, but he didn't. But you could. Maybe you've had to go as far where you've been like, people have actually had to come to you and say, hey, yeah, this is what's going on in your life, and you've been outed, and you have a chance now to again call for mercy, and you could get it, and Jonah didn't. He just said, eh, go ahead, throw me over if you don't like it. Maybe you're here today because you actually got thrown over. And now you're sinking and you're gasping your last gasp. And you still, I would ask and pray. I've been praying for you. I know there's a few of you in each of those scenarios today here. Call out for mercy. And you'll get it. Mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserved. And that means you have to admit, first of all, what you deserve. You don't deserve God's mercy. But you can call out for it. And so he's gasped his last. I think he's unconscious. Not just, that's my insight, my dreams when I think about the story. I get that from his prayer later on. He's down there and God provides, the Lord provides is a huge, this again, the same word though, ascent, appointed, orchestrated, crafted this fish, or your Bible might say whale, because we don't know. It's just a sea creature is what we know that it says, a large sea creature, provided this for Jonah. It's an act of mercy. Now, I don't think it felt like mercy when he woke up, but it was an act of mercy again. God's not done. And so Jonah's in the belly of this fish for 3 days and three nights. Now, I don't have time to prove to you that this is possible or that, you know, I'll tell you straight up. I think this happened. I think it's happened for many reasons. I don't want to go into all of them. I don't have time today. Jesus talked about the story as an accurate historical account. There's actually a place, Nineveh now, who honored Jonah and believe Jonah existed, has a place, a burial place. ISIS actually destroyed it in 2014 because it was such a sacred place to this day for Muslims and Christians and Jews because they all believe that this actually happened. And here's an act of mercy. And somewhere before the whale swallowed him, this is what we know. Then Jonah finally cried out for mercy. The prayer says in Jonah 2, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord and he said, in my distress, I called out to you. So at some point before he lost consciousness, I guess, he thought, okay, mercy, mercy, mercy. Ever play that game when you're a little kid with a bigger kid or man, just wait as long as you can. Mercy. I cried out to the Lord and he answered me from the deep in the realm of the dead. In other words, I was just there. I was in the realm of the dead when I cried out. That's how long he waited. I cried for help and you listened. You can cry out for help on this journey, on this path at any point, and God listens. That's mercy. He didn't deserve for God to listen to him, pay attention anymore. He had so many chances to turn around. But God is so eager. It's part of who he is. It's his character. God is bent towards mercy. And he has mercy. 3 days later, smelling disgusting, bleached white, probably from the stomach acid, probably unconscious, gets puked onto a beach somewhere where he washes up. I know that only because there's a story in right around the, just before the 1900s, of a fisherman who got swallowed by a sperm whale for a couple days and actually lived. They cut open his stomach and he came out unconscious for 2 weeks, bleached white, hair missing and partially blind, but alive. And so I don't think he smelled very well or looked very well. And God comes back to him and says, all right, so let's go. An act of mercy again. God will take you today. It doesn't matter how many years this has been going on for you. And God just says, all right, are you ready to walk in step with me again? Let's get up. Let's go. Let's go to that place. Here's the thing about mercy. First of all, a second chance is available for you today to get back in step with God. That's number one. Number two, which you have to understand is this, is very important. Mercy does not dilute God's word for you. The mercy of God does not make the word of God less strong in your life. His mercy is not, I'm so sorry I asked you to do that hard thing. So you know what? Okay, you're tapping out. I won't ask you to do that hard thing anymore. Actually, no. You can be wandering for years and years and years and years away from God, and he had something in your life he put a finger on that he's been working on. You could be running and running and running, and you finally come back because you've gone through the storms or through the stomach or whatever you got, and you smell and you stink and you can't believe it. God has mercy, but he's bringing you back. He still wants to do a relationship with you, and probably you haven't dealt with the very first thing in which made you run in the first place. He's just going, I'm patient. But let's go again. Because the plans that God has for you, the direction that he has for you, are always good. So when you ran from him in the first place, there's no reason for God not to bring you back to the same place and go, all right, well, that was weird and inconvenient and a disaster, I guess. But the direction is the same. Walking with me is the same. My word doesn't change. Are you ready to go again? Another act of mercy. What do you need to know today? I've said it a few times. The book of Joel says it clearly. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone. Whether you're the sailor today who had no idea that you got stuck in a boat with somebody like this, but you're figuring that maybe God is powerful enough that you better say mercy quicker than that guy did. You can. Or maybe you're in the story of Jonah somewhere in the midst. I hope you're not stinking like fish yet, but you can. Everyone can be saved because of God's mercy. We're going into a time of communion right now. Communion, what do we do this for? This reminds us of the act of mercy. The act of mercy is that God, through Jesus Christ, does not give us what we deserve. And it's the other side of the coin of mercy, which is grace, which is he gives us what we don't deserve, which is a relationship with him. Which is actually purity in his eyes, that he actually gives us a right relationship with the Father. Now, here's the thing. God is a just God. And you got to take all this characteristic of God. And it takes a while. And if you're new at this, to understand, well, God is so loving. He's so merciful. Yes. And he's just, which means what? Which means you can't let sin go unpunished. We look at the world today and there's many places where we're like, something needs to be done with that. It's true. And the root of it is in all of us. It's the rebellious nature to not live the way God designed us to live. And God has to do something about that. He can be merciful, he can be gracious, but he has to be just. And so when we come to the Lord's table, that's when we're reminded, that's where it all came together for us. That Jesus would take what we did deserve so that God, by grace, could give us what we don't deserve. Romans 5. I want to read this to you. I'm going to pray. I'm going to have those that are serving come up. When we were utterly helpless, when we were at the last bottom we could go, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Our friendship with God, what we don't deserve, was restored by the death of his son while we were still his enemies. Well, we were his enemies. We were running in the opposite direction, but our friendship with God was restored in Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago before we ever even cared. So now we can rejoice. We can worship like the sailors did. We can fall down, sacrifice, worship in a wonderful new relationship with God. Not because we deserve it or earned it, but because Lord Jesus Christ, through his death on the cross, has made us friends with God. That's why we take communion. And so we're going to distribute it out. And you take the bread and take the cup. And then I'm going to walk you through as we partake of that together. The bread and the cup just represent the broken body of Jesus Christ in our place, and that his blood was shed to bring a new relationship with God, because justice had to be served. And it was his blood that was shed instead of ours. All of the bread is gluten-free, so you don't have to pray really hard when you eat it. It's going to be okay. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much. Your mercy is unbelievable. There's so many times that we don't appreciate it, and we don't understand it completely, and there's so many times we run from you. I pray today that we would call out for mercy for those today who are fully aware that you're doing something in our life to bring us back into relationship with you. Would we humble ourselves today and cry out for mercy? We thank you that you are willing to give us that, and that you have died in our place already, that we can simply receive this relationship. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.